Okay. But before we continued, I'd quote some guidance from Lloyd's. A statistical model at best is a fair representation of the underlying reality. At worst, it is a biased and incorrect view of the risk. Invariably, there's insufficient data to be totally confident of the parameters or the model, and some degree of parameter and model error is unavoidable. To compound matters, parameters themselves may not be fixed and might follow their own distribution. Sophisticated ICAs will therefore include some allowance for parameter uncertainty. So if you haven't got the message yet, everyone's interested in this. We should be taking it seriously. And we should be communicating something about uncertainty. Areas I was planning to talk about are listed there. Given the time, we'll see where we get to, and please jump in with any questions. I'll go straight on to sensitivity testing. I think one of the things that's coming out has been very important is that regulators, senior management, are looking for an understanding of what are the key parameters in a model. You know, what's driving our risk? Not necessarily asking for some statistical proof of how uncertain these numbers are, but which are the key assumptions and what happens if we change them? Maybe it's as simple as saying there are these four items, what happens if I increase or decrease their value by 10%? Picking up on a comment from earlier about whether ICAs should be best estimates. Personally, I'm in favour of saying yes, they should be, and we should be talking about uncertainty around those. Just because we stress test an item, I don't think it follows that we necessarily increase our ICA by the result of that stress test. Lloyd's actually mentioned some specific stress tests that it might use in the absence of you doing the work yourselves. Two of them I noted were, your main class of business performs 50% worse than expected. Now, you may have a view on whether that's a reasonable stress test or not. My recommendation would be that you should have a view on what's a reasonable stress test, carry that out, report the results of those findings, or else you probably will find that a blanket benchmark is applied that you may not agree with. They also mentioned a 40% reserve deterioration on any one line of business as being another stress test that might be applied. The correlation levels are worth spending some time on as well. It's not uncommon to find perhaps a 40% benefit to your own overall ICA arising from the correlation levels you've assumed. Again, picking up on a point Henry made earlier, have you assumed the right levels of correlation? Almost certainly not. But I think what's important is communicating the financial impact of those assumptions you've made. If by changing those correlations ever so slightly, you're suddenly putting yourselves in a position where your required capital is significantly more than available capital, you know, people want to know about that. Perhaps you may have views about whether it goes in your report, but you should certainly be communicating it internally. I'll move on to data considerations. Question for you here was, are there different or new data considerations in the ICA environment compared to reserving? So what I wanted to talk about first was data outliers. I think we're all comfortable with the idea that when we're carrying out a reserving exercise, we might happily exclude certain data points when we're deciding on our benchmark development factors because they're outliers. When we're talking about ICAs, can we really apply that mentality? Does an outlier actually exist? Show of hands. Is there anyone here who would happily say, yes, that's a data outlier, I will exclude it when perhaps looking at their reserving uncertainty? Great. And I was asking whether there are people here who would comfortably exclude data points, say from their reserving triangles, when they're looking at reserving uncertainty from an ICA perspective. Okay, so good few would exclude them. Are there any people who would say, no, you just cannot do that? great. And you want to expand on that, Peter?
Well, I mean, really, most running fans are quite understanding. I'm certain the running fans is with and without the outline. Understand the impact of course, the cycling, but it's sensible to do what it's quite simple,
really. Great. Yeah, I mean, I agree. But I think looking at various people's reports and so on, that's not something that is often reported. Whether or not it's carried out, different question. But I'd say certainly that's where people should be heading. You know, if you can do something that's theoretically fantastic, you know, great, but at least do the basics and report and communicate the findings from that. Another point I wanted to touch on was the impact of 1 year of extra data. Example I was thinking of here is where we looked at a line of business. It was in runoff. There was sort of 10 years worth of data looking at incurred bootstrapping to get a sense of how volatile the reserves might be. A year later, repeated the exercise, and we saw a significant increase in the volatility, which got us thinking, you know, well, what's the story here? Did we get it wrong last year? What should we have been reporting? But I think a key message from that, for us certainly, was that whereas in the old world of reserving, people have an expectation that your answer doesn't change materially from 1 year to another. You know, you've got to justify why the reserves have gone up or down, hopefully talk to a specific reason, hopefully it hasn't moved by too much. We don't yet have that experience and knowledge in the ICA area. So it's possible that the results will move significantly from 1 year to another, or that we might see information that suggests they should move. So I think there's a new type of uncertainty we should be communicating. And yes, it gives us a challenge because it does throw up the question of, well, is what we're doing credible? But I think it's a conversation that if you're not having already, you should be doing. Wondered if anyone had any observations about where they've already had the chance to go back and look at something for a second time a year later and seen movements in their findings. Andrew?
The comment that I'll make is you get a double whammy here, because suppose you've got an account, behave yourself fairly well, you've got a distribution to it, the one in 200 year event is the extrapolation that if you look at it and think, well, I can't ever believe that might happen, but hey, one in 200 is hardly ever, I'll put that in. Then the next year it does happen.
Yes.
So you've got to pay out this huge claim. And you recalibrate capital model. And your 1 in 200 year event has now gone out 5 times as far as it was before. So there's a real issue in terms of managing your business as to how new data points, because at the same time as requiring different claims, can potentially throw out your analysis. I think one of the questions you raised earlier about are you comfortable with excluding your points? There's been a lot of discussions over World Trade Center, whether that is a 1 in 200 year event. And I heard a few people argue, well, actually, I think it's a 1 in 201 year event, so completely on the radar. You can end up hitting yourself that way.
Yeah, thank you.
Hampshire, just as that is.
Don't you worry. I'm going to take the temptation this time, and Justin, I'm sorry I didn't last time. You asked whether anybody had the experience of looking at capital assessments 1 year and then another year and then the year after that, and I'm looking at you, Peter Tavner. You and I have a lot of experience of doing that, and I can tell you that movements in capital requirements are not welcome, and we smoothed the results of the RBC. I don't think that's particularly contentious. If anybody didn't know that we did, I think it was pretty publicly known that we did. We had smoothing components in our RBC model, which we're removing this year, because that's what we've been asked to do. And my expectation is that any resulting volatility will be not that welcome. I'm perhaps a bit cynical. So I do think, though, that as you start reporting to your boards an ICA this year and ICA in a few years' time, if you don't have to do it every year, perhaps in a company, for the reasons that everyone's just been given, they will be very volatile numbers. And if you don't smooth them, well, you see what the response is. I suspect that it won't be a very welcome. The messenger might be shot. So my personal solution to that has been in the past to smooth it, and I still favour some form of smoothing as a practical thing. Going back to my earlier comment, which before the interval, which Andreas has pointed out, was postmodernist, which I therefore withdraw it. I still think we're doing a practical thing here. We're setting standards. We're trying to manage businesses or help people to manage businesses, and therefore undue volatility in the answer is undue. I'm just a bit surprised that anybody thought you could comfortably take a data outlier out. You might take it out, not comfortably, surely.
Thank you. I think in the interest of time...
It's a shame, as with previous topics, we're just warming up to a really good discussion, but we've got homes to go to, and Nigel is desperate to get to the podium as well, I'm sure. So perhaps if there's one more burning question from the audience on this issue, or if Gavin's got one more burning point to make, and then we'll have to move on.
I think the main point I'd like to make is that I think at the very least we should be trying to identify the key parameters. You know, not sensitivity testing everything in there, but sensitivity testing those parameters that matter. And communicating the results of that. Like I said, I'm in favour of the best estimate ICAs, not building prudence into all the numbers and then saying, oh, and there's uncertainty in addition. I'd advocate being open about the results. I think there's a great danger of people getting worried and lowballing their numbers so that they've got room to then have the negotiations about uncertainties here and there and how that impacts the answer. But obviously, that's a pretty contentious issue.
So. Well, thank you very much, guys. Could we show our appreciation to Peter, Trevor and Gavin for... So far this